Vouchercheck Tinya Kuchi and DL the Bit Lumsa Brennero Davnian Shah Ay Highland Radio. Welcome everyone to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now live on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Thank you, Donna Marie, for news and the amazing Joe Dex, who is doing the Power Hour Plus and producing my show this evening. We'll be lost without our Joe here. Couple of Fogla, indeed. It is, I suppose, our Irish language, our GA. It's all our one culture. It's always nice to throw in a couple of Fogla. It's important. I have to get a few lessons soon to improve on that. I think we're all in the one boat on that. I just want to put a shout out to our Donegal Miners. They're heading into the final of the Paul McGuire Cup after victory over Down after extra time at the weekend. They're playing Louth in that final next weekend. Well done to Carol Lacey's crew and all involved there. Louth GA doing well underage. We want to wish them all the best in that. Coming up on this evening's show, we have another packed show in store. Shortly we'll hear from a couple of men around the big clash, the Donegal Cork game coming up at the weekend, and a packed weekend of football action coming up. I'll be joined shortly by John Gilday, former County star of course, and Tarp GA Cork pundit himself. The one and only Dennis Hurley is making his, as Joe Brawley would say, his debut on the show. Later on then we'll catch up with former Donegal star Patrick McBurdy. What a career Patrick has had in the game. He stepped away this year and he's doing great work with GA Go. It'll be interesting to get Patrick's view a bit on his career, a bit on his current work, and of course what he makes of the championship games coming up this weekend. Just also at the weekend, Donegal Masters had a great victory over the nearly unbeatable Tyrone Masters, the 5-in-a-row Tyrone Masters team. They beat them 10-8. Sligo coming up, that's Eddie Crawford's team. Great bunch of lads, they're out in Philly. Like a wee night out, like the rest of us too. Good lads, hey, so well done to the Donegal Masters. But as I say, first of all, we're going to kick off. We're going to look ahead to the series coming up, the big games coming up this weekend, especially, of course, Donegal Cork. And a welcome to the show, Dennis Hurley and John Gilday. How are you, lads?
How's it going?
Good to see you, D-man. You all right there?
Not too bad, no, not too bad.
The miracle of joining us Cork men and us Donegal men together after, I tell you, we were one ball away from heading away to Cork. That would have been some crack after being away to Kerry. I don't think that was planned in the new fixtures that you could potentially have two games away like that.
Yeah, sure, that's the nature of it, isn't it? Like, it's pure chance. Cork are flying up on Saturday morning, so we'll see if that's a good use of funds.
Yeah, well, why? But that does that depend on the performance? That's a bit harsh.
That's it. If you
the old private
jet. If you fly up and you win, it was the right decision. If you fly up and you lose, it's money that could have been used to pay for parking grave.
I hear you. There's always somewhere for the cash is needed. Indeed, Dennis. John, are you on the line there?
I am, Brendan.
John,
how are you?
Good man, John. Listen, great to hear from you, sir. How are you keeping?
I'm still alive, thank God. No complaints.
Yeah. Very good, very good. Great to see you, John. Dennis, just on the trip up, I'm quite weary of the Cork men now. Good league, back up in Division One. I think there was too much made of that Munster final defeat, you know, in terms of going into Killarney. So certainly, I think as a Donegal man, quite weary of the talk around it, because a lot of people's expecting a Donegal victory.
Yeah,
is that for me? Is that?
That's for you, Dennis. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, like it's without wanting to sound like a, you know, like our cute Kerry neighbours who always don't play it. Like, I think it is the toughest draw Cork could have got. You know, like having won, having had such a good win, and getting, you know, round 2A. You know, you knew you were going to be coming up against another team that won, but Donegal obviously sounded a real warning to the rest of the country. Like, especially, like, you look at it, Cork lost by whatever, 7 or 8 points down in Killarney to Kerry, and then you're looking at Donegal going there a couple of weeks later and winning by 10, wasn't it? You know, so I'm not saying that means Donegal are 19 points better than Cork, but, you know, just going on basic form and the way the year has gone, like, Donegal won a league final, Cork lost a league final in a lower tier. I think any smart money has to be on Donegal, but Cork can't, like we were saying it on our own podcast on the Echo this morning, like Cork can't just look at it and say, oh, well, there's no hope here. We'll just go up and have a bit of a laugh and then we'll get ready for the following week, because it just doesn't work like that. Like, you can't throw your hat at it. You have to give it a proper go. You know, it's like a fella playing tennis against a player you know is better, and you're not going to say, oh, well, I'm not going to return any serves. I'll let him win his service games. I'll try and win my own and then take him in a tiebreak. Like, you have to go out and play the game in front of you. And Cork, you know, you can't call it a free hit because it's championship football. There is another chance, obviously, but that's going to be, if you do lose, that's going to be against a team that are coming in with a bit of a bounce, having won. So, like, that's an interesting dynamic to look at for their own three fixtures. Obviously, one of Cork or Donegal won't be in that round. But, you know, Saturday has to just be about Cork kind of taking the good stuff from Killarney and from against Meath, but obviously looking at a lot of the areas that they need to improve on as well, and knowing that the margin for error is reduced severely compared to what it was against Meath.
Yeah. John, from a Donegal perspective, John, it's a very strange time. One game in 7 weeks. I mean, in Jim's time there's never been anything but a couple of weeks off. In many ways, is that, I suppose, a bit of a strong point of Donegal's in terms of preparing for a vital clash? You could see straight on the a quarter final, the way that Donegal looks so focused against Kerry, you know, and they've had loads of time now to focus and get ready for Cork.
Yeah, I suppose you and I spoke in March, and I was postulating at the time that the best thing that could happen to Donegal is to go to Ulster early. If you look at Donegal's run to an All-Ireland final last year, it was 11 games. The 11th game was the All-Ireland final. And during that period of time, they had to peak a number of times against Armagh and different teams just to get there. And that's a very difficult thing to do. And I always felt that a shorter route would benefit this team. You know, it's, you know, at face value, we don't have a lot of injuries right now compared to this time last year where we played an Ulster final and Patton was injured and Murphy was injured and Caelan McGonigal was injured, et cetera, et cetera. And that really caught up with us at the end of the day. And we ran out of steam against Kerry. I suppose we never got to the pitch of it at all in the All-Ireland final. So I think that's a benefit to Donegal. I suppose the negative to that is very hard to determine where Donegal's at. Two games ago, we got beat by Down. And then we would go down to Killarney, and as Dennis said, and we beat the reigning All-Ireland champions for the third time this year, which is never an easy feat. But the reality is that it was a very weak in Kerry side. The sending off skewed the game completely. So I don't know if you could read too much into that game. You know, Donegal did what they had to do and they were very efficient and effective, as you expect from them, very professional. But the reality is that game, while it's always good to beat Kerry and they never like getting beat down there, became a non-event after halftime. The other side of the equation is the last time we went down to Cork, I think it was 2 years ago in the round robin, and Cork taught us a lesson, scored a couple of goals and blew Donegal away. So this Cork team cannot under any circumstances be underestimated, because as they showed against Meath, they never lie down. They're a big, strong, physical team that won an awful lot of ball around the middle of the park. They're able to score goals at fun, and obviously they have one of the best scoring forwards in the country in Sherlock right now, who's, you know, if you give him half a yard at all, he's putting it over the bar from any which way. So while it's a good draw for Donegal, and what I would suggest is if two teams came with their A game, the best of Donegal versus the best of Cork right now, you'd anticipate Donegal would win that. But in a one-off championship game, anything can happen, and this Cork team will be underestimated at your peril, because they've proven that they can beat Donegal already. They won't come with any fear, and they're going to come and give it everything. And, you know, worst case scenario, they're out the following week, which is not the end of the world. But if they put in a really good performance, and even if they come out the wrong side of a very tight game, they're going to bounce into the next round having taken one of the favourites for the All-Ireland in everybody's book to the pin of their collar. So wouldn't be taking it as lighthearted as some people maybe be looking at it right now. Think it's going to be a very challenging game. If Donegal do their work professionally, then they should come out the right side of it. But just be careful with it.
Yeah. I suppose from your perspective then, Dennis, you're watching Cork week in, week out. Is the kind of feeling a wee bit you've just said there about that going to Killarney was probably the toughest place in any team in the country can go to, and then Balbuffet would be something similar? Is there something in that then? It's that is
absolutely,
the mindset,
yeah.
You know?
Like, I remember kind of saying after the Munster final, I was trying to kind of rationalise it a bit, and by saying like there's not a lot of teams who could go to Killarney and live with Kerry, and I was saying Donegal are going there next, and Kerry would be the favourites for that, and rightly so. And then obviously that theory was kind of, you know, torpedoed a little bit. Like John says, Kerry were under strength, and obviously after the red card, it did become a non-event. Like Cork did well for a lot of that match. What you'd be very disappointed with was that period after half time they faded out, having had such a good first half, and then having got a goal and a point to make a game of it again with kind of 15 minutes left, they just couldn't build on that. Like, I think you just saw the difference between the quality of a team used to playing in Division 1 and the quality of a team that were in Division 2 for far too long. And like Cork had a lot of possession in the second half, and they weren't able to do a lot with it. That Kerry were just able to get guys back and kind of stop Cork getting into any kind of dangerous positions. And I think they'll face something similar against Donegal. John mentioned the game 2 years ago in Parky Ring, and that was a funny game. Like, obviously it was the first, I think it was the first loss of Jim McGuinness's second reign. And Donegal hadn't conceded a lot of goals before that match.
There was some big turnovers in that game, Dennis. It was a great aggression from the Cork lads that led to, you know, those goals.
Exactly, yeah, like 3-9 to 16 was the scoreline, and like Cork ended up going out of that year's championship against Loud, and I think it was like 1-9 to 1-8, and like the 1-8 they got against Loud wasn't a whole pile different to the 3-9 they got against Donegal. It was just that all the goal chances went in against Donegal, and Donegal missed a couple that day, and it was just a day where things fell right for Cork, and they were able to kind of limit Donegal. Like, you know, 16 scores Donegal got, 12 Cork got, but Cork won by 2 points. So, you know, you're looking for something like that for Cork. They will need everything falling for them, especially when it is up there. And, you know, I think is it a sellout? 18,000. And like, there's not going to be a lot of Cork fans in that. So that, if it does get close, you would imagine that'll just give Donegal an extra little bit, that they'll have the fans cheering them on, and kind of, you know, it just makes it that little bit more difficult for Cork. But, you know, like John says, championship football, anything can happen, especially, you know, Cork get 2 goals in the first 5 minutes, and then it's something to defend, and, you know, Donegal might get frustrated, but Cork basically just have to stay in the game for as long as they can to just give themselves that chance.
Mm. John, my weary side is I totally respect this Cork team, and they have to be respected, but the other side is Donegal back in Balbuffet. I was chatting to a couple of McCool boys today. It's like a snooker table up there. Donegal could open up in this game as well. You know, they're very well rested, they're very well focused. You know, they've got a serious control mechanism of experience and pace all throughout the team. Could you see the team really drive on in this game as well, John, and kick on from Kerry and lift it to another level?
Well, I suppose the reality is both scenarios are possible. Like, Donegal has shown a huge degree of efficiency this year, you know, aside from the Down game, which we'll put down as an anomaly, and maybe they were going through a heavy block of training or whatever. But, you know, I think we'd, you know, against Kerry the last year, run at 90% efficiency, which is exceptional by any stretch of the imagination. And if you're executing at that level, then you're going to be very, very difficult to beat. I think there's been a number of changes in the way that Donegal play this year versus last year, in the sense that, you know, we're all much more committed to hitting the two-pointers, and we're defending a bit higher in the arc to limit the two-pointers. That leaves us a little bit more exposed to goals and behind. So, you know, it's you're robbing Peter to pay Paul to a certain extent. But there's no doubt about it. Donegal on their day, as they proved in the league final, and ironically, the league final team was a much stronger Kerry team than the team they played last week, you know, down in Killarney. They're very capable of racking up big scores, and when they go on a run, they really can put you to the sword as such. So could they run away with it? Absolutely, but I think it'd be dangerous for anybody to go into McCool Park thinking, okay, we're back in McCool Park. That's, you know, Fortress McCool Park, as they say. So it leaves them in very good shape but I'm sure Jim will want to get out the back end of the game, you know, as comfortably as possible, as efficiently as possible, with as little damage to, you know, the overall team as possible, and get through to the quarterfinals directly, because obviously that's a big bonus. Because otherwise you go through the back door, or whatever it's called now, because they keep changing it and they have to keep figuring out what it is this year. But then you're looking at three games on the bounce. So whichever team loses over the weekend, they're looking at a game the week after, and then they're looking at going straight into a quarterfinal the week after that as well. And that's going to take a big toll. So obviously the preferred route for both sides, and obviously with our Donegal hats in, would be straight into a quarterfinal. The good thing about that then is, if should that transpire, you're looking at a much more favourable quarterfinal draw, in the sense that you would assume that Armagh are going to beat Louth. Galway Westmeath, you know, might be a little bit touch and go, because Mark McHugh has Westmeath going well, but you know, in other years you'd be thinking that's a victory for Galway. And then you're looking at Tyrone Mayo, and you know, Tyrone are going to be hard to beat in Omagh. So then that means we can't play, the winners of this game can't play Armagh, I believe, or Tyrone or Kerry, because we played Kerry already and Cork have played Kerry already. So it lends itself to being a very important fixture, purely because not only do you get there to the quarterfinals, it leaves it in such a way as that you could have a much more favourable draw than coming through the other way, where you could clash with one of the big guys before you're ready.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. There's so many plus points here. Dennis, just on that, I mean, the performance obviously in Killarney, you said, kind of petered out a wee bit. Kerry did a wee bit of a tactical job on your guys, and as you said, probably showed that experience in the squad that just where they're at in terms of development and how they can manage a game. Now, the last day against Meath, you know, I thought there was brave guts in your men, you know, with Parky Rinn, because obviously that bit of a lull, Meath controlled and went ahead substantially. I mean, when I seen the half-time result coming in, 116-11, you really thought Cork are in trouble here. So, you know, I know there's a bit of a breeze in the second half, but really, judging the crowd and that down there, they fairly stayed with the team. And as John was saying, Sherlock, 14 points, 3 2-pointers, you know, Cronin, Buckley, like so many people played a part, as did big O'Callaghan, of course. And I know there was an attempt to get the red card rescinded, but you know, there's some great guts in that performance with the players, and of course O'Callaghan will be a huge loss come Saturday.
Yeah, he will, because he's been very good all year. He's really developed into a leader, and himself and Ian Maguire have become a very strong midfield partnership. I wouldn't draw a line under it just yet. I think it could go all the way to the DRA later in the week,
right?
As these things often do, like we all want consistency, and we all want people to take their oil when they're punished. But when it's our own lads, we're kind of a bit more understanding. Yeah.
Why do you think is a case, Dennis? I know there wasn't maybe a lot actually in it, but it was, once there was a connection there, it kind of
I think it was a red card, yeah. But you know, we've seen a lot of these. A lot of these overturned on technicalities and procedure, right,
and things like that.
It, you know, you're basically looking for the referee leaving a comma out of his report. Like it's not the ideal way of things, but he's such an important player for Cork. They're going to exhaust every avenue, because if they are without him, it just makes it that bit more difficult. But yeah, like that Cork were able to fight back without him gave them huge belief. Especially that it was the team that had beaten them in the league final, and that the second half that day in Croke Park had been so one-sided, and that Meath just got really on top of Cork's kick-out. So to be able to kind of spot them a head start and then to turn it around, you know, and to win a game like that, you know, against another top team, like a team like themselves who are going to be Division 1 next year, like bar the one against Donegal 2 years ago, and maybe Mayo the year before that, Roscommon in Barkacueve after the Mayo game, hasn't been a lot of big wins against big counties for Cork to cheer about. And yeah, I think it just showed kind of like the other side of the coin now on Saturday, Open Belly Buffet. I think it just showed the power of Parky Ring, you know, a small venue with a crowd cheering Cork on. Like if that game had been in Barkacueve, 8,500 would have been lost inside there, whereas in Parky Ring, it gave it a lot more atmosphere, and just kind of, you know, it did. I think it has to have been a factor in them getting over the line that day, and they'll be exposed to the other side of that now on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be a it'll be slightly hostile, maybe, Dennis. Sorry.
I think people don't do hostile. We'll be very, very welcome. No, I don't mean that. We've no axe to grind, Cork. We'll be nice. Just make sure you're not wearing green and gold coming up the road, Dennis. If we think you're the wrong guys from the wrong part of the world with the wrong accents and the wrong jerseys, you definitely could be in trouble.
And do you know what? I know what you're saying. No, Dennis, listen, when you have a crowd like that, there's no doubt in the crowd in Championship, and if the team need a lift or need to drive it on. If it's totally one way, it's a massive plus point for Donegal outside of being at home when you have such a crowd there. You know, if you did Killarney the last day, there was a huge Donegal support there and it was very vocal and it seemed to have the majority of the stand actually, whatever way the tickets were allocated. But, you know, it was a huge, I suppose, aspect to Donegal in that fight. So, you know, that's something. It's been, you know, John, you know that when you were playing, you know, that you know, the crowd can drive you on so much. But that Donegal support mattered a lot in Killarney.
Oh, it did, yeah. And you know, it's, I suppose Donegal got on top early, got into the game early. And you know, it gave everybody an opportunity to get behind the team. You know, it's easy to get behind the team when things are going well. Or you're making a late charge and you're coming back into the game. You know, I suppose supporters in general, not Donegal supporters per se, but in general, find it much more difficult to get behind a team when things are not going well. And we've seen that in the Northern Ireland final where you had a huge crowd of Donegal people there, but ultimately we had nothing to cheer about and it was just very insipid throughout the whole thing. So the crowd, when things are going well or you're making a charge, are very, very important. I think the reality is most of these teams right now are running at such a professional level that, you know, they have a job to do. Will Kieran Moore or Fimber Rorty or any of those guys run any harder because Donegal crowd shouting, but it's just not. They're going to do what they're going to do. And Jim has instilled in that, you know, no matter how well or bad things are going, you just, it's the next ball and you plug into the next system and you go on to the next challenge. You know, but obviously a big Donegal crowd, hopefully the weather will be good. Balbuffet is a great place on Championship Day. The atmosphere will be fantastic. It turns into a cauldron. Big, full Donegal support. You know, I would say, as Dennis said, you know, if you have 500 to 1,000 Corkonians up and a couple of them local up here already, there's neighbours of mine, they're good Cork people. You know, the rest of the crowd should be all Donegal people and it should be very loud and it should be very boisterous and it should be a great family event. You know, there's a lot of kids going, et cetera, et cetera. So we're hoping for a good performance. We're hoping for the right result and then we're hoping to move on to the next level. But again, I would give Cork definitely a puncher's chance here because on any given day, they've been down through the years, they're capable of scoring not just one or two goals, but three or four goals out of the blue. And then again, can turn very quickly in the modern day when it comes to that. And then if Sherlock decides he's going to be hot and start hitting two pointers into the river end, then the whole thing can become very interesting very fast. Donegal are a very controlled, structured outfit, and I think Cork will be looking to bring a bit of mayhem and rock and roll to it because you know that's the way they play the game and that's how they love it down there.
We are, Dennis, bit of rock and roll. Dennis, just what are you? You're more a blues man, are you?
Yeah, or a bit of tread. But funnily enough, you mentioned Cork and Donegal people not having any axe to grind. I can remember being in Croke Park in 2002 cheering on a Donegal team featuring John Gilday and Brendan Devaney against Dublin in the drawn quarter-final because Cork were playing Mayo in the game beforehand and we hung on in the hope that Donegal might spring an upset.
Good man yourself.
Went close to it, but
Dennis, just on that big that John's mentioned there, that rock and roll, listen, we all know the squeeze and the kick outs. You're going to look at the Kerry match and see what worked well in the first half. You know, and you say if you're missing O'Callaghan, that's a big side of that because when you squeeze up, you want the kick to go long. You need your big men out there. But what's the feeling there on the work rate of your inside six? Like, is that something you've seen Cork throughout the season commit to well, that type of a squeeze and the push to get the kick long?
Yeah, like, I think the work rate as a collective has improved an awful lot, or the whole structure of the team. Like from 2016 up until this year, like Cork didn't sustain a proper league promotion campaign, like, which sounds crazy when you think of it, like, you know, that, you know, given how well Cork had been, or how well they had been going before the relegation, and like, just the panel changed so much, and there was new guys coming in, and there was changes in coaches and changes in S&C, and it was last just falling through the cracks. But like, it's taken time, and like, this is John Cleary's fourth year now, and you know, finally you did see like a proper improvement. And like, I suppose even 2 years ago, they improved, and then the new rules took a bit of time to adapt to. But yeah, I think there's a lot better balance in the attack in terms of guys who will get you scores and guys who will, you know, work their socks off to get back and work those transitions to get the ball in the scoring position. What you're looking at the other end of the field then is that, like, in Daniel O'Mahony, Cork have a really good one-on-one defender, a guy who lives for man-marking. He's always put on David Clifford when we play Kerry. But the question is, you know, who is he going to be put on Saturday? Like, it's probably going to be Oisin Gallen, but, like, Donegal have so many scoring threats. Like, I think Cork will need to look very carefully at how they match up. Like, because, you know, someone like Brian O'Driscoll, who's been around a long time, and he's found his niche at wing back now, but he's a major part of the Cork attack, you know, and building attacks and getting 2-pointers. But, you know, if he's going to be up against, you know, who are you looking at? Kieran Moore probably, or Jason McGee, you know, yeah. if he's put on the back foot, that it obviously means Donegal are kind of, you know, generating attacks and kind of getting shots in, but it means Cork aren't able to build the way that they like then as well, you know. So it's just such a big challenge for them. And then a big part of Cork's improvement this year has been Dara Sheedy, a young lad who had gone well with the 20s and is still under 20 this year. And he got injured, a very untimely injury before Killarney. And, you know, he is back to some level of fitness now, but probably not able for 70 minutes. So, you know, it's do they start him and bring him off, or do they keep him and run the risk of the game being gone before they bring him in? Or, you know, can they stay with it and bring him in, and then he might give them an extra dimension against the tired defence. So it's just, there's an awful lot of variables for the Cork management to contend with.
Yeah, I suppose, John, that's the big thing about Donegal now. They're attacking from everywhere. Everybody is going to contribute to that scoreboard. And if you think about it, as you say, Sherlock shooting the lights out. So, you know, McCall's going to pick him up. But listen, you know, Finbar Rorty's performance the last day too, if there's another forward, particularly it sweeps out that, but, you know, Cronin, you know, go and mark him, tag him, go after him as well. So Donegal seem to have improved that bit. When we're thinking year on year, John, in terms of people that can go after and do jobs, our defensive structure in terms of tagging and dropping in zonal at times. So we look like we have quite a bit of variation in terms of what game management we need to do, John. And then when we get the ball, it's that awesome break up the pitch and everybody's coming trying to break the lines.
Yeah, but listen, everything looks good when you're going well. It's when you're going bad that then you start seeing problems, and then that things start breaking down, and we've seen that in All Ireland. Like, Finbar had a great game down in Kerry, and then I suppose the question is, Jesus, why did we not do something like that in All Ireland final? And, you know, that's out there. I do think we have a much more varied attacking platform this year. We're not overly dependent on one or two scorers, even though Washington's going really, really well at the moment. We do have a threat all over the forward line. They're all contributing. Langan's contributing. McGee's contributing. Oisin's obviously contributing. Michael's doing his thing. And even then, coming from the back line, you have Finbar when he frees up, and Mogan and guys like that. They're all able to score. And that makes it very difficult to shut down one player or one particular avenue of attack, because somebody else is going to pop up and do exactly the same thing. So we're very well drilled in that regard. The other thing that Donegal are, they're incredibly patient. When they do have the ball, they can break very, very quickly and open up goal chances, as we've seen against Kerry in the second half when Shane Malone scored the goal with a ball over the top. But when that's not on, then they're very comfortable holding the ball for long periods of time to make sure they have the right shot in the right place, and that gives them a very high percentage when it comes to conversion. So at this point in time, based on the last game, they're in very, very good place. I suppose the only caveat, and I see Patrick McBurtie just joined there, we still don't have a left-footed free taker, so maybe by the end of this, Brendan, you can talk him into maybe coming back in for a couple of games.
The John Heslin.
There's only four games left, and we can do a John Heslin one and just shove him in there and wheel him in and wheel him off and kick the breeze.
No better, man. John, good man. You're teeing up my next guest, the top man that is Battery Birdie. Listen, John, thanks as ever for the input tonight, and Dennis Hurley as well of the Cork Echo. Lads, thanks for that wrap up. Dennis, will we see you up? Are you making the trip?
Unfortunately not. Cork Minor Hurlers have an All Ireland semi final on Saturday afternoon too, so we've had to kind of split our resources. So Barry O'Mahony will be the man on the notepad for the Echo.
Oh, well, listen, I'll go and say hello to him. Hey, we'll have the crack. He might have some inside tracks for us there for the Highland
perfect
coverage.
Stuff. And I presume that bringing Paddy on is just a kind of another subtle little reminder of 2016 and the 11 points in Croke Park.
I'll tell you what, a performance, hey, that'll have to be brought up, all right.
Yeah, seared into my brain.
Yeah, give him up someday. What a performance. Dennis, listen, top class as ever. We'll catch you down the tracks.
Thanks for that. Good luck.
Yep.
Bye.
Great chat, the two boys. I say after the break, we're going to talk to Donegal, former Donegal great, Patrick McBurtie. Welcome back to DL Debate. Now, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Patrick McBurtie. How are you, Patrick, lad? You're not coming through there, Patrick. Have you got a wee mute button? There you are now, kid. There you are. You're looking very official there in an office space. You're doing a bit of business.
I was caught, Brendan, yeah. I was caught till 6:30, and I says, you know what? I may stay on to join the DL debate. So,
listen,
here we are.
Patrick, is absolutely phenomenal to have you on. I could talk to you about so many things, Patrick, and I'd love sometime actually to have a wee spin back across your career. Of course, what a time of Donegal GAA and a time for you. You know, I was kind of thinking if you had landed in 2010, you'd have been thinking this could be a bit of a grind. But the stars aligned, Patrick, you landed in Jim's first year. And of course, one of the phenomenal things of being like one of the few players in the country ever to play minor and a senior in the same day. You made your debut against Antrim and, you know, went on to like win an Ulster again, All-Ireland. Patrick, what an amazing time for you in terms of your life and Gaelic football and your kick-off at senior. I know you were an underage star coming through in vocational schools, All-Ireland, etc. But your time starting with Donegal was just amazing.
I was very, very lucky, Bryn. You know, I would have went to Donegal games, even though we were living in Dublin, you know, until we were 10 or 11. We always went to Donegal games, mainly because, you know, my father being from Clotiar, Michael Hegarty playing for Clotiar down through the years. And, you know, we were in Clonus in big days and Croke Park in big days. And Donegal were always on the wrong side of the result, you know. And that always kind of stuck in my brain, you know. I was a young lad and you were playing.
Sorry about that, yeah.
John were playing, but they were great players, like, you know, and probably young people need to remember, like, you know, I never took it for granted because I knew Donegal went through a barren period, you know, and the last 15 years have been unbelievable for Donegal, you know, and I just hope that the next generation come up don't take it for granted because, you know, you're not entitled to anything, you know, things can go wrong for you and, you know, then you can find out then maybe in the end of your 20s and you still haven't won anything, you know. So, like, there was great players in the teams you played on, Brendan, you know, and unfortunately, you know, never mind winning an All-Ireland medal, never got the chance to win an Ulster medal, you know, the likes of yourself and Eddie Sweeney and even John Gilday. Mickey Higgs was lucky. He won 1-11, but that's he was very, very lucky. He had retired and came back. So there was a lot of great players in Donegal, you know, that unfortunately never got to win an Ulster medal, but you know, just I was very, very lucky. I came in at the perfect time. You know, had great managers around me, great people around me, and great teammates as well. And you know, very, very fortunate.
Before you started playing with Donegal, we had won 7, and by the end of it, it was up to 14. Patrick, is that correct? And basically doubled in the time you played.
I think we'd won I think we'd won six or five or something, yeah, and I was lucky enough to win seven. So
I mean,
somebody do the math there, yeah. But I was actually on Sunday, I was down at my uncle's house in Kilkeara. I went down to Kilkeara for the weekend, and you know, he just happened to ask me how many Ulster finals I played in, and I, you know, didn't I started to count on my hands, you know, started counting out the years, you know, and it was a great time. I was lucky enough to play in 12 Ulster finals and 3 All-Ireland finals. It was there's a lot of big days out there, and I can count myself very, very fortunate.
And of course, Paddy, you and Don, the captain, the team as well, and were given that responsibility. And I mean, in terms of ticking all the boxes, another huge honour to lift silverware for as Donegal's captain.
It was that was definitely a highlight. Obviously, 2022 was a disappointing year, and then you know the start of 2023, there was a lot of different changes within the county. Obviously, delighted to get the captaincy. You know, it was a tough year both for the county, myself personally. I got a bad injury in the second league game against Tyrone up in Oma, and was out for basically got between 3 and 4 months. You know, I was told it was going to be 4 months. I had to go to London and get surgery on my hamstring. It had ripped off the bone, unfortunately. It was a very severe injury, but managed to get back. So that was a big learning curve for a lot of people. You know, standards slipped big time within the setup, and I think the county learned that not to take things for granted. Players learned not to take things for granted. I think the county board learned not to take things for granted, and it was a big lesson for everybody. But we came out the right side of it, and Donegal. If you think back now, this time 3 years ago, and compare the two, they're two stark differences, you know.
And Patrick, I suppose you've seen in your time there, you had Jim, the two eras of Jim and everything in between. Was the standard set so hard or so high in those times that there always was going to be maybe like there was a different, obviously, approach, a different setup. We were still successful, but there just seemed to be such a drive from the team in Jim 1 and Jim 2.
Yeah, listen, Jim obviously was there for 4 years. I was fortunate enough, I didn't really know anything else because I came in as a young fella into the team, and I just thought this is the kind of the way things were. Obviously had Jim 11, 12, 13, 14, and then Rory Gallagher was manager then for 3 years. He had unbelievably high standards as well. He tried to push the thing on even further. A couple of kicks of the ball, we would have won a few more Ulsters. And then Declan came in, but you know, Declan was a really good manager as well, and we won two Ulster titles under Declan. I think people sometimes forget that, but I think it was the players. Players kind of kept it going, you know, in terms of the standards. You know, if some man was slipping, you know, he wasn't long about being told about it. And if you look at any kind of high performing environment, any team, you know, it's usually player led. And when it comes to standards and setting the tone in the dressing room, if you look at the great Man United team, it was a lot of the senior players that drove things on there. So we tried to implement that as well. And it was just, you know, there was a few years there, things probably did sway to the wayside a wee bit. But once Jim came back in, you know, everything was back on track.
Yeah, and Patrick, funny, you mentioned Rory Gallagher there. Like the Rory Gallagher who was in charge of Donegal at that time looked very different to the Rory Gallagher maybe who was in charge of Derry. You know, obviously you're evolving as a person and a coach all the time, but he really looked like he had stepped it up at that time that he went to Derry. Like, did you think Donegal were pretty close under him in terms of, like, being an All-Ireland potential?
Oh, definitely. You know, we all know how good Rory is as a coach and a manager. I felt he was a wee bit unlucky in Donegal. It was the Ulster final in 2015. We lost to Monaghan. I forget the amount of wides we had that day. And then we kind of felt like we did game one against Tyrone in 2016. Peter Hart hits a crazy score outside of the right, and Sean Kavanagh hits a wonder score as well.
Yeah.
So Rory was unlucky in a way, you know, in two Ulster titles. That's definitely two Ulster titles we left behind us. So I suppose when he left us then, he went to Fermanagh, got them to an Ulster final, and I'd say he would have learnt a lot. You know, unfortunately for Donegal, he would have learnt a lot. And the way to do things, you know, in Donegal and Fermanagh, and luckily for the Derry players, then he took that on to Derry, and you know, Derry were really, really close to them few years he was there. You know, I was tipping them, you know, in envy. We were kind of way off it, and they were up there, and you know, they weren't far away from winning All Ireland.
Yeah, Patrick, funny you mentioned that 2016. I think that's one of the games. If you really wanted to look right, we need to do something about this match because it was so entrenched on teams sitting off and And you were playing in that, Patrick. You just got on with it. You had to get on with it. But I mean, if you look at the freedom now of forwards, you know, there is so much advantage given to the forward, because people are saying now, the defenders have dropped a bit, and they have a bit, I think, in terms of obviously the way they were sitting protected in the zonal defence. But in many ways, a forward now often has a defender stood up. Maybe the defender more often backpedaling. He can go left, he can go right, he can pass. Before, it used to be a thing you were fighting in the middle of two or three defenders. Now you're one on one and you have multiple options. So when you look at it now, you kind of think, God, wouldn't have been... I know your timing was brilliant, but I think you and your pomp now, Patrick, you're one-on-one with a guy. You can go either way. It's the dream, I think, for forwards now, right?
Definitely. Listen, my time was good and my time was bad. I came in at a good time, you know, in terms of winning things, but the blanket defence, I suppose it started... I was playing for probably the worst team. Donegal never kicked the ball, and I was playing in the worst province, Ulster, for blanket defences. But so every ball you got or every score you got, you know, was probably worth two in other counties or other provinces. But you look at the game now, I'd love to be in my mid-20s playing with the current rules. Obviously, got to play them last year, and, you know, it was really, really exciting. You know, unfortunately, it was the tail end of my career, but the likes of Oisin there and Conor Donnell, every time they get the ball in their hands, especially lads who can kick off both feet, you're not expecting them to score every time they get the ball. And I suppose it's up to Donegal to get the ball in these boys' hands, but it's also the opposition to stop them from getting the ball, which is the main one. But Donegal look really, really exciting there, when especially when them two boys get in the ball. And if Donegal are to go on and do big things, it's probably them two boys that are going to be the main men to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you add that too, Patrick, the conditioning and the calmness of players now and how focused they are on just... they're ready to deliver. You know, there isn't any fear at all of being gassed out or panicking in the situation. Everybody looks like they're just ready to play their optimum. It looks like such a brilliant time to play. You obviously had etched that 11 points. What a day that was, that game against Cork, Patrick. You were absolutely out of this world. Dennis Hurley still talking about it there. So there was some massive days in there, Patrick. And then, of course, as you said there, towards the end there, you had those injury problems, but you kept coming back and getting yourself into great shape. And it was a huge commitment, Patrick, to get back and get up to that levels, because there's so much demanded then of you in terms of the nature of Donegal and how they played it. Everybody had to be everywhere, you know, up and down the pitch constant.
Yeah, listen, I suppose it was unfortunate at the end. Every year, the end of every off season, it seemed to be I needed a surgery and a different something. There was always a different problem seemed to be popping up. You know, obviously I did my cruciate in 2018, and I've had three surgeries since on my left knee, and then probably the biggest one that I found the toughest to get my head around was the hamstring in 2023. That was a tough one. You know, that was a tough news to get. I thought it was an innocuous enough hamstring injury, a normal, no tear. I thought I'd be out for 3 to 4 weeks max, and getting a call to say that it was a serious injury, and you know, you have to go on a flight tomorrow to go see a specialist in London was a tough one. And there's only so many times you can keep coming back, as you know, Brennan. You know, boys who don't get injured really don't understand it, but I was able to play the games, but every off season just seemed to get longer. And you know yourself, Brennan, when you're older, you need even bigger off season to get ready for the season. And my off seasons were being, you know, more focused on rehab than getting a good block of training in. But stages last year, you know, the body was completely breaking down. But I can't complain. What the days are got out, and just serious levels now. If you want to play for Donegal, never mind Donegal. If you want to play in Division 3, Division 4, you need to be at a serious level, never mind playing at the top or Donegal there.
You see that by the condition of your buddy Mark's Westmeath. They've stood up to it, even though Division 3, it's a good point. Paddy, just on, before we get the wee bit of chat about you going at, you're involved in your own business there. You're mostly in the capital. You be in England as well, do you?
We're all over, Brennan. Yeah, I'm in Belfast. I'm in the office in Belfast here at the minute. In Dublin 2 days a week, and in England 2 days a week too. So, things are going well. We're in London, Manchester, Liverpool, Dublin. We're in Belfast here as well. So, football was obviously a big part of my life, and people were probably worried. Family members and friends were worried about this void in my life. But let me tell you, the void has been filled well by work and that commitment, you know. But thank God everything's going well so far, and we're up and running now, just over 2 years, so everything's going well, thank God.
Great, Patrick, you're putting the shoulder recruitment, is it?
Construction recruitment, aye. So it's more the labour supply than the white collar stuff. Michael Maguire is my business partner there that you'd have played with there, from Neve Columba, and Brian Curran from Sligo, who would have played for Sligo as well. So three of us set up there over 2 years ago. So things, we've been very, very lucky the way things have gone so far. So we're thankful to everyone, clients and the lads who work for us. You know, they've put in a big shift.
Good man, Patrick. Listen, we wish you all success with it. Tell me, you've taken the seat now in the cushy media world as well. You're doing great stuff in GAA Go. You're following it very nicely, Patrick. You enjoying it? And what's the kind of aspect of looking in? I know in the back of your mind, when you're finishing playing, you're always thinking, well, I do a bit of this, but the opportunity came up, and you've been going really well.
GA Plus, I need to...
rebrand. Sorry. I'm not... Good man.
The boys in GA Plus have been giving out to me. The boys have been giving out to me, listen, I've been the same. When I retired, I just thought my weekends would be free, be able to go watch Liverpool and back to Nicolcar and... do the stuff that I couldn't do when I was playing, but got a call one day. It was from the lads, and the first I didn't really think that I would go for it, to be honest. But I slept in it and I gave it a few nights, and I thought things around. And as a player, I never thought I would ever get into the punditry side of things. But I told the lads I'd do it for a year and see how things are going. But I'm really, really enjoying it. It's something I never thought I would enjoy doing. But so far so good. They haven't been. I haven't been banned off the airwaves yet for saying something too crazy, but the first game I actually, first Donegal game I was at was the down game, and I was there as part of GA Plus. So it makes things easier in terms of going to games. You know yourself, Ben, when you retire, it's really, really tough to go watch the games. I don't know what it was like for you, but for me to go to watch a game would have been very, very difficult. But when you're doing it as part of the commentary team of the game, it made it a lot better. But so far so good. We'll reevaluate at the end of the year and see if they still want me for
it. No, you're going great. And listen, Patrick, because of everything you've done in the game, you have a lot of authority then to talk on it. And I think what you're saying there is, I would get the same when you go to a game. If you're part of it, then you feel like you're kind of part of the process a wee bit. So it gives you kind of something to centre in on. Because I was the same when I finished playing. A few days it got you a bit then, but if you at least were kind of, it was mostly maybe at the start I was doing a kind of cool comms and things you get, it kind of gave you something to do. And then there's a great vibe in the background there with media, isn't there? Because you meet people, everybody's in kind of good form. It's kind of like, if you're saying to anybody else, kind of like wedding, when you meet up for a wedding, everybody's in good form. It's that type of wee atmosphere there where everybody's having a bit of crack. There's obviously a lot of talk about like who's in, who's out, and you meet. I need to get to know people over time. And that's what's great for me now, Patrick, because you have a kind of system of people out there, and then you reach out to them, no more than yourself, like giving up time to come on and have a talk to us now. People are very good. They'll come on. And I think people really like that side of it and like hearing your opinions on it. And I think that's growing as the game is growing now. As you say, the online offer is absolutely massive. People are all obviously complaining, Patrick, about the game not being on TV. I kind of think part of that, Patrick, might be that if every game is on all the time, we might get a wee bit home and pub orientated. Do you know what I mean? Ireland's not a huge country with all these fans everywhere. It's not like the Premier League or something. I think maybe in the background, if we put on every game all the time, that it could start to take away the crowd. Now, I know people say, oh, that doesn't happen, but we haven't tested that yet. I think it could be dangerous, Patrick. Maybe they have every game now. Maybe this one, because Cork's so far away and the Donegal diaspora, etc., people might think, should it be on? But I don't know, what's your view on that?
It's a tough one. People were giving out it was on GA Plus 2 weeks ago, and now they're giving out it's not on it. It's a tough one for the lads here in Croke Park to try and figure out. But we're actually covering on Saturday the Monaghan-Roscommon game and the Derry-Meath game, and I suppose they're probably two bigger games, and no offence to the Donegal Cork game, but they're two bigger games.
The Jeopardy,
Whoever loses that game is gone. From the All-Ireland, and them four teams probably would have big ambitions at the start of the year. So listen, does it go down the route, if everyone wants every game on, does it go down the route like, you just pay your €15 to watch the game, and is that the route the GA want to go down? I don't know, like Boba Faye is going to be sold out the next day. on Saturday, sorry. It's going to be a good occasion, and unfortunately, it's not on the TV. I think it's on BBC, isn't it, Brendan? Did someone say? But
somebody mentioned something, but I think we only are doing the semi-finals and the final. That's all right. I thought we
someone
had.
Said, I was shocked to hear it was on BBC because I didn't think it would be. But someone had said it to me today, but I wasn't too sure. But you're the man that's on BBC.
There you go. I should know. Well, I haven't been asked yet. Every bad week, so I'll be offended. But, no, I think.
But
I think,
it's above my pay grade. But listen, I think GA Plus they are offering a good service at the minute in terms of the games they are showing. There's way more games being shown than there was, two, 3 years ago even, So it's just a pity they've only got a Cork game from our point of view, isn't on the TV.
Perfect, perfect, Patrick. Listen, we're out of time, Patrick. One thing, I want you to come back. We'll go have a proper chat today when we've got more time. You keep up the good work there. I'll see you down the tracks. Time. Top man, Patrick, we've buried
okay.
Cheers, man. Thanks everybody contributing to the show this evening. Stay tuned for the Monday night sessions.